you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And it is my sincere pleasure to welcome my next guest to the program. And folks, if you don't know her, well, then you have to probably been hiding under a rock somewhere, is what I would say. She is the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. She is a minister. She is an advocate for life, an advocate for Black Americans and the Black family. She is an advocate for Americans and the American family, and a spokesperson, I believe, for God. And I want to welcome to the program Minister Alveda King. Alveda, welcome. It's so
Hello,
good to have
Pastor.
You.
Hello, Pastor. Hello, Pastor Greg, and to all your listeners, and if you're online anywhere, your viewers as well. God bless you all.
Thank you. Well, you know, I had the pleasure of having Vernon Jones on just a couple of weeks ago, and I know that you and he had a very impactful interview, and in fact, your book that you gave him has played a huge role in his faith journey. Talk to me about the importance of this message of life and pushing back against black genocide that our mutual friend Reverend Childers speaks about so eloquently.
Absolutely, and Vernon and I are very good friends, and I was talking to Vernon a while back, several years ago now, and I said, Vernon, no, you just have to reconsider your position, because little babies in the womb are human beings. And babies are not the bodies of the mother. They need an advocate. They need a lawyer. And we know, of course, that really is the Lord God Almighty. However, as we continued to talk, Vernon thought about it, and he said, you know, that's true. And I did give him my book, How Can the Dream Survive If We Murder the Children? And as we move right on now into 2021, that question is still before us. We often look at it through the lens of civil rights, the little babies in the womb being the weakest and most vulnerable. We do know that in America, the African American community is targeted by organizations such as Planned Parenthood and other abortion advocates. And they say, well, the best way to help your community is to offer you easy access to abortions, birth control, and that kind of thing. So the question comes up, if you look at Lord Jesus Christ, he did not kill the poor or those in need or those who were disenfranchised. He offered salvation and eternal life. So abortion is not in line with rescuing or saving a community. And we've had 60-plus million babies legally aborted in America since 1973 with the passage of Roe v. Wade. And that is just shameful. And it doesn't really matter the ethnicity of the child. A baby is a baby. There's one race, the human race. Well, there's one human race. Let me clear that up. There are other races of giants and Nephilims and angels and all of that. But the human race is one blood and one race, Pastor.
100%. So critically important that we recognize that all of us were created in the image of God. I think of Psalm 139. We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
We are made in the image and likeness of God, created for God's pleasure. And that is a blessing for all of us.
No question about that. And it's certainly something that, and there's some cases that are coming up before the Supreme Court that hopefully are going to give an opportunity for us to, you know, to speak into that and maybe to see America make a turn. Texas, here where I live, we've got the heartbeat bill, which puts the control and the power back in the hands of people. Government's not the one to make this decision. We, the people have to make a decision to choose that life matters. And I think it's significant. I've been talking with a woman in New Jersey, Gerald Maglio, and we've been talking about their outreach to inner city youth. And it's so important that young people know that their life makes a difference, that their life matters, Dr. King.
Young people respond to this message so beautifully, and they are beginning to understand in droves and high numbers, however all of us are hearing and understanding. With the election in Virginia, for example, the parents said, wait a minute, we're not going to teach our children to hate. That's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Of course, they were dealing with critical race theory. And mm-hmm. As I say, there is one critical race, the human race, as well as the skin color. However, they did stand up, and then over in Texas with the heartbeat bill. And I know since you're there in Texas, you had to face that argument. Oh, well, you're not really pro-life unless you save all of it. Well, you have to start somewhere and keep going. And so that was the power of what has happened with the heartbeat bill, what has happened over in Mississippi with the attorney general. I have done at least two amicus briefs, so friends to the court, and certainly for the Dobbs case, I'll be in D.C., on the first, where they have to re-examine now, because there's so much more information that proves that there's a viable living human being in that womb. Mm-hmm. And there's much information that was not available, say, even, unfortunately, the years I chose abortion. One time I didn't choose it, the doctor just did it. The other time I did choose it, and then my body was damaged because of the abortions, and I had a miscarriage. I repented and became a voice for life. And many people who were not always what we call pro-life. Many of us are now some of the strongest voices, especially women who have experienced abortion or miscarriage. So, but the men regret abortion as well, the lost fatherhood, the grandparents do. Some of the providers of the abortions realize they shouldn't have been doing it. So there's much to be said and done, but we are on a good course. You asked about the young people. They say, just tell us the truth. What happened? And we have to be very repentant as we do that, Pastor.
Well, and, you know, you brought up the CRT, and, of course, that, you know, brings up the issue of them teaching children that they should hate one another, or that a particular group of children hate another group of children simply predicated on the color. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, the mistake we almost made was that when we said, oh no, we will not agree with critical race theory, without explaining to anybody what critical race theory is. So for a moment that made a problem, because the people who really wanted to stir up that tension almost won. But I came in and I said, not just me, but several. So wait a minute, can we explain to people why we will not teach critical race theory? Because that was created by people like Darwin, another anthropologist named Carl something, and there were several who said, oh, there's a superior race, and it's based on skin color, and if you're white, Caucasian white, then you're superior to some of these other races. So we have to teach that that was an error by anthropologists who tried to make a superior Aryan race. Mm-hmm. And to build something on that. Margaret Sanger supported that.
Yes.
And many of them. And then they said, well, then they attacked the skin color and ethnicity. So we have to teach why critical race theory is wrong, because it's based on something that's opposite. Acts 17:26, God said, of one blood I made all people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're created in the image and likeness of God, regardless of skin color. God never divided the human race because of skin color. It was done by language and the power of Babel. Go back and look at that.
Yes.
So now we're coming together. We're not going to teach our children to hate each other because of skin color. It makes no sense. That's a Marxist theory drawn up by some anthropologists that wanted a superior race of being, and they wanted to make sure they were in that superior race. Now, there are other things, the race of angels, Nephilim, giants, lion-like people, but the human race, it's one blood, regardless of skin color. And we're not colorblind. We can see each other, too.
And that's another one of your great books that you've written, We're Not Colorblind, Healing the Racial Divide. And of course, the way in which we do that is, you know, we don't deny that America had slavery. But I think what we also have to focus on is everybody makes Thomas Jefferson as example to be a villain in this, when Frederick Douglass writes in his book that Thomas Jefferson was one of his abolitionist heroes. That's a pretty significant statement.
It is. A Jefferson's wife and his mistress, Sally Hemings, were half sisters. They had the same father. So all of that type of thing, and they knew it. Men like Jefferson and many of the leaders, men and women. One even wrote, and I've never been able to get back to the exact quote, you know, if there's a God in heaven, we're in trouble, so we shouldn't be doing this. One of them actually said that. And they knew. So we're, you know, all of us, all have been falling short of the glory of God. We all have a lot to repent for. And as we repent, then together we go to God and say, God, we came against what you wanted us to be. Please forgive us. Please forgive us, Lord, and restore us. And that's what these young people want to see and hear us do. And they want to be able to believe that our repentance is genuine.
Well, and as I wrote, you know, just a few months back when we were talking about, you know, our Independence Day, our founders said that we might create a more perfect union. They knew that it wasn't perfect, Dr. King. They knew that they were working towards it, but it should be noted that their goal, many of them, their goal was to abolish slavery in America. And slavery was brought to America through England and through other
economic
nations.
Issues.
Yes.
And we had Wilberforce and all of them.
Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.